Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for this week's Wrestling Perspective podcast, the safest podcast on earth. We will give you the wrestler handshake at the end. It's all great and good. Ace Steele, you're back. Oh, that is the worst handshake, by the way, of all time.
I was going to say, we're not doing wrestler handshakes. Like, that's, ooh, hey, brother. Like, that's just silly.
I remember the first time I was with Petey Williams backstage at an Impact show, and he's introducing me to people. I'm shaking hands, and I go up to one of the wrestlers. He's like, oh, Petey's buddy, shakes my hand, and it's like a wet noodle. I'm like, the hell are you doing? And
sure.
Like, and I went in for the real, like, I'm going to try to show you that, right? I'm not some weak, nerdy guy that just plays video. And yeah. And Pete's like, you don't do that back here, man. We do the wrestler handshake. I'm like, and that's the first time I ever heard of it. Kylie Ray, by the way, is here. Kylie, how many handshakes have you given?
The wrestler handshake, the jumping It's nice. Thank you for having me on, too. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, when Ace said that he became friends with you and asked you on the podcast, I was excited because I'm someone that I was a fan of yours from afar. I've never had the pleasure of meeting you. I think I've seen one or two of your indie matches in my long, illustrious fan watching career. But I begged him. I'm like, make this happen. So thank you so much for being here. And Ace, thank you for being friends with her.
We're friends for 2 weeks. Like, I'm excited to meet her too. Like, I'm a fan. I watch. I'm a fan. Is it like, you know, I don't know her, and I know we know a lot of the same people. A lot of the same people. I would ask, oh, how about this girl? And they're like, oh, she's really cool, really nice person. But I'm also interested when I saw her in-ring work and footwork and you name it. Like, you, a worker knows a good worker when they see it. And I can tell you that I go out of my way when I see a match with her, especially a couple of weeks ago, like on the main event. Like, people that I trained at NXT, when I see that they're coming up or they get a shot at main event, I'll definitely go search them out and see how they did, you know, because I'll still keep in contact with some of them or just send them a message. Hey, great job. And then I saw that you got a chance to work, and I was like, well, that's a great freaking opportunity. And I thought you did phenomenal, you know, especially I felt like you turned, like you had the gimmick and then you were heel. And I was like, yes, that's the shit. But no, I gotta say, just a fan of your work without getting to know you. I'm glad the persona is, you know, follows, you know, your wrestling persona follows your personality, you know, and that's great. It was so nice to meet you, and thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my gosh, no, thank you. And yeah, you're right, especially like from day one of training too, like I would always hear, hey, Steele, hey, Steele. And I'm like, I want to meet him. I want to learn from him. And then I think you even came to do a seminar a couple years ago, I think last September or the September before. And we happened to be out of town, and I was like so upset because, Rob, Robert Anthony, he was another mutual friend of ours. he's like, go to this. I was like, I want to go. But I would always hear so much about you and just a huge fan. And I just, I'm very grateful.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to meet. So very grateful.
Thank you.
I was going to say, you're good. About me. Yeah. It's my turn now. Now you got to make stuff up like you know who I am.
And you know what, Dennis? I'm just ever since being from St. Louis.
Ever since we met, you're an okay guy.
You're great. Yeah.
You go a long way back. Right. Like 9 minutes.
But no, I'm very, very grateful to be here. Very happy. The character, it's like, I swear it's pure nerves, and it just comes out as like just smiling, even if like it would almost get me in trouble growing up because I would smile too much when people were yelling at me. But it's like, and all right, I'm like, they're like, are you not taking this seriously? I was like, I promise I am. Sorry, I'm just uncomfortable. But yeah, it worked in the ring, so then I went with it. I'm still trying to learn how to like turn the heel switch on with it, but. Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress and something that I've enjoyed because I want to be a bad guy.
is that something you had to kind of be talked into like a heel? Because when I know happy-go-lucky you, and we all know your story about how it's almost like a duck where on top of the water it's calm and underneath you see the legs flipping around and you never quite know. But out there in the ring, you have this amazing smile. It makes me happy just watching you just skip down to the ring. So for this heel turn, is there like you had to be, yeah, I guess you had to be talked into it. Was there like a worry of, all right, the fans may not accept this?
That's a good question. I would say, I mean, like, point blank, of course, it seems very babyface, and it was easier for me to start out as babyface, but then I got in such, like, a comfort zone where I didn't necessarily know how to be heel, and I felt horrible, like, going to shows, and, you know, if for a certain match, you know, you almost get in positions where you're required to be a heel, and then I'm like, I mean, worse would be like, sorry, I can't do it. So like, it was something I really wanted to learn. Right? It was like I really wanted to learn how to do it, especially without having to like change my entire character. So that's where the work in progress. And of course, there's going to be fans that don't accept it, or just you know people in general. But that's just with anything, and that's okay. Like everyone's entitled to their opinion too. And I think some of like the negative feedback also helps me learn like what I can improve on. So I still am learning to do it, but I feel more comfortable. I'm not comfortable in the ring as like ever, but if I'm gonna feel comfortable, it's me as a baby face. But I still want to learn heel just to be able to, like, for example, in the position for main event, it was against Dana Brooke, and she was babyface for, you know, the longest, and obviously still is, but it was a position where they're like, gosh, you know, I was coming in and I'm kind of a babyface. They're like, can you do heel? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Even though I wasn't going to be confident with it, but I was like, yep.
Right.
So like being in a position like that, I just, and moving forward too, I just want to learn how to do that because and I want to be like, sorry, I could only do baby face.
Sure.
So yeah, and then it was awesome.
I would say that Teddy Biasi said this famously, and I can tell you 100%, I didn't know who I was half the time I wrestled. Like things would morph and change with me as I wrestled, I'd adopt different styles and figure out where I wanted to go. Teddy Biasi once said, if you're a good enough heel, you should know what the baby face does and vice versa. And you should be able to adapt. The hardest part for me is I am a 100% heel. I am just mean. I want to beat people up. I want a little kid to be scared of me. But what I never realized, and it took forever to realize, was that if I wrestled the same style as a baby face, eventually they're just going to buy into you. And that's like the Stone Cold aspect. Or if you go back to my childhood, the Road Warriors, they never change their style and people just love them for, you know, they never really, except for rake in the eyes or You know, that's pretty much the only thing. You're doing an underhanded tactic and craft your match to that. They wrestled the same way. So I do see it, the psychology of, if you're able to do this, you should be able to do this. I am a terrible baby face. If someone says you're the baby face today, I'm like, well, it's over. Like, I feel like I have to try to do something instead of it should be there, you know? So yeah. It's hard for me to go, yeah, come on, you know, hit a big punch. I can explain it better than I can, you know, do it, exemplify it in the ring. So yeah. I sympathize with you in figuring out, like, you know, it's not that easy. And for me, I'm looking at it, be like, I could give you some tips and, you know, you can, I thought you did great flipping the switch. Cause I watched the match and I was watching it with my wife and she used to wrestle. And I'm like, ooh, interesting, baby, because baby can be very difficult. And then you were the aggressor and you changed. And I went, aha, there you go. Good job. So excellent. I did want to ask you, since you grew up in Chicago or Chicagoland area?
Yes, suburbs. But I live in Chicago now, so I get away with saying it.
But well, yeah. Like, so did a famous student of mine. He's from Chicago, but he's, you know, Joliet area. We won't hold that against anyone.
Right. Oak Forest, Finley Park, South Suburbs. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So not far from Chicago Ridge, where we used to run, Ring of Honor used to run there.
Yes.
At that I can't think of the name of the building, but we were in Chicago Ridge so many times.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, like, growing up, what drew you to this? I have a feeling probably the type of wrestling I'm sure you gravitated towards, but I'm curious about, like, your inspirations as you grew up. Again, softball questions, but I want to know this stuff. Like, I could research the internet, but I'd rather hear it from you.
Right. I appreciate that too. And it's, I would say growing up, I was very much like a product of the system with like WWE. Like, I didn't even know what the independents were. Which is funny because there were like carnivals around town that would have, you know, like independent wrestling, but I didn't make a connection that was the same thing as WWE. So like I knew of it, but not necessarily what it was. So my older siblings, there's four of us, so two older than me, and they would always watch. So it was kind of just like family hour, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was fun. So basically like my family, and then I don't know why I always like gravitated towards like Shawn Michaels for some reason. Cause like,
okay.
They really much painted like the underdog story. And I love a good underdog story, not just in wrestling, but like in life.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was mainly like my driving force of like, loving wrestling. But as far as like actually pulling the trigger with training, I did not think it was even possible until probably, I think out of high school, I had told my mom, I want to start training for wrestling because I had two friends that started. I don't know if you're familiar with Vanguard Wrestling. It's like, I mean, let's be honest, everything around this area comes from the Windy City. So like, I like to think of it as like a tree, and like the root is like Windy City, and then there's a bunch of like branches. And like one of those branches. Right. So they started training at Vanguard. And I was like, I want to go train with them. And my mom was like, absolutely not. You're going to college. So, which hindsight 2020, I thank her very much for that. But then 3 years into college, I still like held on to this dream of wanting to wrestle. And it's so, sorry, I'm gonna like totally mark out, but it wasn't until like the whole CM Punk pipe bomb where I was like, I want to do this. And I was not gonna say that. But that was like the trigger.
No, please do.
Because I was going to school at Eastern Illinois, which is like 2.5 hours south of Chicago. So I literally transferred back up to the Chicagoland area, like Romeoville area to Lewis.
Okay, sure.
And so I transferred there the next semester, and I started training if you're familiar with Bryce Benjamin, he...
I am.
Yes. So I started training with him in August of 2013. So yeah, and then it was just not smooth sailing, but the ball was rolling from there.
Sure. You all have to start somewhere. So it's funny you talk about the Tree of Chicago. So I started at Windy City Wrestling. And when I moved away and came back and we started the wrestling school, the Seal Domain, it was very self-serving. So we had to bring the training because we knew we wanted to do more. And of course, you know, the students we've had come through there, Colt Cabana, CM Punk, but Eric Priest, who trained Bryce Benjamin, and then he trains you. So there's your family tree of how it sprinkles down. Yes. And Bryce Benjamin actually had told me that. Like, I remember the name, but I had no idea where he had started or whoever. And he brought that up to me and I went, oh, wow, that's so crazy. I mean, think of how many years ago that was. I mean, we closed the Steel Domain. I'm going to be wrong here because I kind of forget. It was good. By the time it closed, we had just kind of moved on with our careers. And the fact that the school just dissipated was like everyone else was working places and doing things. And we just, okay, well, building closed, we're done. We got what we needed out of it, you know, instead of like, let's make this business last forever. You know, our business was getting in the business. So that's so interesting that that's where you started and it spawned off of something that, you know, it just, you know, trickles down. So that's awesome.
Very grateful too, because, I hear stories about, and I don't know if you personally experienced it throughout your training, but, you know, Bryce is very much pushed that, you know, I'm not going to take advantage of y'all because like, that's not how I was trained. And then I would hear stories about, you know, some people coming from other schools in the area. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't have blessed there. So
oh, sure.
Told that, right. It was still challenging, of course, but I didn't feel like, you know, he was just taking our money, which obviously I haven't experienced Steel Domain, but I've heard so many stories, and especially from like people coming there, that it was a place that like, y'all cared so much about like the product that was put out, like the training, that it wasn't just like a money grab or like I get, of course, how it could turn into something like that for some schools, but yeah, I'm very grateful for that root of the tree of y'all because Bryce very much took our time with us. And I think
that's excellent.
You had Kevin Quinn as well with y'all, right? Kevin Quinn.
Yes, oddly enough, you're going to laugh at this. In Chicago at Dynamite, I got a picture sent to me from Punk. It was him and Kevin. And I just was like, yep, Kevin Quinn was there. And he was one of the original guys that when we opened the domain, he was still around and kind of active.
Yeah.
So he started training with us a bit because he was in the city. And you're going to laugh at this. I was Kevin Quinn's first match at Windy City Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I helped train him when he broke in, and I very much think I was his very first match. He would probably remember better. That's been too long ago. I believe I was his first match. So what a wacky family tree we have.
Yeah.
Yes. So you trained with Kevin Quinn as well?
So he would come in and he was one who was very selective with the people he would invite to, like, he would only do, you know, once a week or once every other week. Cause you know, he obviously have his family and other points in his life. He's living a different lifestyle. So he, from my understanding, he wasn't just going to train anyone who, you know, didn't take it seriously from like his perspective. So you almost had to, it was like an invite only type of class.
Understood.
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking too. And very, very intense as far as like the conditioning, but so
sure.
It and like he's the if you care, he will take your time, he will take his time with you. And yeah, he's helped me tremendously. I can't thank him enough for everything he's done.
That's awesome to hear. Like, that's a common thread as a coach. Like, I've had terrible coaches, not going to name names, but I've had people just berate me and like, man, I've already been doing this a while and people just, they're just awful to you. But then I have a coach like a Dr. Tom Pritchard, who was my coach for a short bit of time. And he had already seen me work and knew I was out there in the world, but he didn't treat me like an idiot. He knew I was there to learn.
Right.
And the difference between the positive approach versus, you know, I'm still stern when I coach. I know what I want and I say, you know, I lay it on the line. This is what I want. But I don't use negative words so much. Like, I've had people say, oh, I just suck, I'm terrible, and on and on and on. And I'm like, you'll never hear me say those words. But you have things to work on and you need to, you know, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. But I never found it. I never found it like the right path was to be just an iron fist and enforce and scream at people and just be like, I think they get the idea if I'm disappointed in something. Or, you know, as wrestlers, we are so critical of our own work. You know, it could be a steep cliff right away. If like, you know, you have a bad match, I've seen people cry and I'm like, hey, it's just a wrestling match. No. I'm like, I'm going to get fired or something along those lines. I'm like, it is a wrestling match. Are you okay? Did you get hurt? No. Great. You can go out and do it again. It's fine. You know, that's all it is a wrestling match. But we hang our hat on that because you think everything's there, like tryouts, things like that, you know, like things happen for a reason. I'm not super spiritual or religious. I just think things happen for a reason. But in coaching people, like, you've got to be positive. You've got to be positive, especially when you're dealing with young folks that are, and I was young, you know, if people had taught me, I was 160 pounds. I was laughed out of everywhere when I was in high school. Sure, you're going to do it. Oh, I'm going to show you I'm going to do it. And when I made this, you know, as far as I've gotten and gotten to do things, people are like, wow, you really said you were going to do this. And we all kind of laughed at you. I'm like, I know. So that just fueled the fire. But nobody told me when I started training that I sucked, that was too small, I was this, I was that. Like, so I still have that. I talk about improving yourself. Everyone should do that. But also, like, again, there's no harm in being positive. You know, the negative is just like, you just don't need it. So I'm very happy to hear that.
No, of course. And then you help pave the way for people, you know, like me, or even like, I know Isaias would get that a lot, being smaller, or anybody else who like might get written off, that like you help pave the way for like us to be like, okay, well, he did it. That means there's hope for me. There's light that like, okay, we can do this too. So like, that's, I don't know if you're aware of that, but I also wanted to throw that out there that like,
I really wasn't, and Dennis, I didn't set this up to be
sure. Welcome to the Ace Still Appreciation Podcast.
What was that?
The Ace Still Appreciation Podcast.
Right. If our streamers, I'll put these away.
We're gonna have fireworks here in a few. Some dancing ladies will come out. You know, the whole, yeah, they have a whole camera they're setting up now for that whole thing. And like, when you start seeing me do the countdown, that's when the screen pops up. It's like, hey, still, like, lights pop up and dance and show girl. Yeah,
that's right. Sure.
Before we get to in the week, I do want to kind of circle back a half second and ask you, you're talking about heel turns and all this stuff. Who's teaching you how to be a heel? Because I find when we talk to wrestlers, the person that teaches them psychology is not the same person that teaches them in-ring work.
Yes, that's very true. And almost like, you, at least for me personally, everyone has different experiences, but it's almost been like the entire path, like learning from everyone. So not just like one person, because I mean, similar to how he said he's got multiple trainers, I have multiple trainers as well, where it was, you know, I started with Bryce and then I moved on to Texas and I went to Reality of Wrestling. But even when I was there, I would go to different schools around to start training and learning from other people down there. Then I moved back up here and trained with different people around here. And I try to, like, obviously not as much now because I'm like 5.5 months pregnant, so I'm not able to train as much. But I was very big on like, oh, if I'm going on vacation, let me take my stuff so that way I could train with other people. So yeah, it was, to answer your question, I don't think it's just been one person. But as far as recent with learning how to be heel, a lot of people that I have matches with, I'll try to talk to them either after or before. Although I don't know what it is nowadays where some people get like, at least what I've experienced, I don't know if they're just not comfortable giving like legitimate feedback. So having somebody that like you trust And they trust you that you're going to actually listen to what they have to say and not just either write it off or want to hear a bunch of compliments, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It does to me.
I could imagine. Because like I want the hurt my feelings type of feedback where it's like, please don't sugarcoat it. Just tell me what I need to work on. Of course, wrestling is subjective. So I'm always like, what would you have done differently? What would you have done better type of thing? So as of recent, I go to Isaias a lot, but obviously I'm with him. So the time that I'm with him, I'm able to ask and like learn from him. I learned from GPA a lot, who's with Freelance. Rob, I would learn from a lot. And then somebody that I feel like I really learned from was Ethan Page. I wrestled him a lot, 2 years ago, and he would really sit down and like discuss what could have been differently or what you can do moving forward to really progress. So it's really just a lot of stuff along the way. There's also another person, Gino Medina. He wrestled from Reality of Wrestling. I think he's in Florida now, but he would be very honest and just be like, it just didn't make any sense. So, but that's the stuff I want to hear where it's like,
sure.
I almost was so nitpicky that I remember telling somebody, I was like, I want every single movement in the ring to have a purpose, like on my end. And I remember somebody saying, that's a little too much. And I'm like, but is it? Like, can I get like, is that something that I could strive for to have like every like literal movement, whether it's a step, whether it's a facial something, I want to perfect. And then like, I'll watch Eddie Guerrero a lot for some reason.
Hey, look at my shirt. There it is.
Yeah. So I promise I didn't even know that.
Well, it's just the way I'm set up.
So good. Babyface heel character, his movement, footwork, everything. Like it was just, and that's, I feel like it's really hard to come by, is like almost having strength in everything you do. Because obviously weaknesses are going to come, but does that kind of answer your question? I could go down the list, but like, there's so many people. I try to learn from everyone, if that's like the most generic answer.
I'm okay with that. Okay. Pass.
That was a great answer. I mean, exactly what you say, though. I mean, no wasted movement. So whether or not I know where I'm going, I make it look like I have purpose. And that's the art. You know, even if I don't know where I'm going, like I spoke about this last week when I was at Freelance, and I'm down at Hybrid right now doing kind of more an extensive, like I've gotten to train each night with the students. They'll have a show tonight, and then I will do a workshop tomorrow based upon the show. So that way I see what they've done and I can take actively what you did, what I think you could help change that. But no wasted motion, putting over things that happen. If you are blowing past what you've already done and going to the next spot, sequence, whatever you want to call it, but you forsake taking a turnbuckle and, your back hurts, you've got a second to let that register because the crowd has to digest what you're doing. But they also digest, as you said, Eddie, he's a lot different wrestler in the SmackDown era, which, to be honest with you, I don't remember if I said this last week, but it's an era I didn't watch because I was wrestling at the time. It's not that I didn't, it was too good to watch Eddie Guerrero. It's just, I didn't sit and watch wrestling every night of the week, that wrestling. I was doing things and doing other things where if I heard about a great match, I would go watch it. But I didn't see the genius. I'm catching up now to, again, my wife was a wrestler. So we are about 10 years apart. And she's like, you don't remember this? I'm like, I'm telling you, I just didn't watch WWE TV at the time. But to watch what he does, the type of wrestler he is, there, much the same with Finley. If you watch him in WCW days or any of his European stuff, when he was in WWE, WWF, when they, like the second phase of his career, such a smarter wrestler and different, took time, let the people digest what's happening, And I don't think it's far-fetched to say that you can move with purpose with everything, whether you're not, you know where you're going. Like it's the art of making them think, you know. It's just like an actor, like when Al Pacino walks in the room and he shakes his wrist and he's just walking around, like you're thinking, what the hell is he, you know? He's just performing, and then he spits his lines out, you know. I feel it's much the same. It's akin to what we do.
Mm-hmm. I think we lost her for a second. She's frozen.
She's frozen. Whoop, I lost this. What did I do? Ah, she froze. I was gonna laugh and send her the screenshot. It's pretty funny. She talked about having some internet issues, so she was going to do a hotspot. She told me that yesterday. So she'll be back.
Yeah. She may need to log off, and yep, here she comes. There she is.
There we go.
Sorry.
It's all right. We're recording, so it's okay.
Hot spotting from my phone. So sorry.
I was just telling you, like you said, you were gonna hotspot, so
all right.
But well, I please can continue with that thought if that's okay.
What did I leave off? What did you last year? Every movement, it just looks like you're going somewhere. So to me, it's not far-fetched to say that I got to move. You move with purpose. You move with purpose. I was teaching stripes yesterday, and it was simply lock up, knee to the gut, but I stopped. I looked around. Then I forearm somebody, and I looked around. Then it was head to the buckle. Everyone digests what I'm doing, and I'll spare the swearing, but every time – no, screw it. When I hit somebody and I look around, I have no better way to explain this except I did some shit. Bam! See what I did? Bam! I did something. I move – whether – I don't know where I'm going. I'm thinking – again, been doing this a little bit, but after I knee someone in the gut, I look around and I'm thinking, what's next? What's going to work? You know, and then we move on. But I try to move with purpose, and that's taking your time. And I had every student do that, and they all did great. I said that cadence and that the rhythm you're doing for me, you don't need to speed that up, because again, that crowd needs to digest what you're doing, no matter what it is. So you can do that and then run your high spot, and then settle down, you know, and figure out what you're going to do next. But walking across the ring, minimizing your steps, you know, that's all a part of experience, which obviously you've moved on to that, which is great too. That's really getting into the psychology aspect, you know. That's awesome.
No, thank you. That even just like the specifics of like the knee to the gut and then like look around, because I think even when you were up here last week already? My days are blending together. Well, a week and a half ago. I think you had mentioned about the crowd digesting or like registering it. And please correct me with how I'm saying this, but essentially the way I interpret it was like a young kid should be able to like understand what you're doing. So going slower, for essentially as if you're wrestling in front of kids, so that way everyone can comprehend. And that's something that really helped and also connected with me, because I, in real life, I really am a slow learner. So to be able to so I'm right there with those kids needing it to be slower to like really digest it. And I feel like to get emotionally invested in the match, it helps me personally when there's certain moments that are slower, because then I could see like, or at least feel like what's going on, if that makes any sense, which I'm sure you already know.
You interpret it perfectly. That's, I mean, my line was a five-year-old kid, and kids are smart. I don't have kids, but they're a five-year-old kid. They're very smart. They're very intuitive, and they read the room very well. You know, they're very observant. And if you can lead them along your journey, they can understand who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, or there's two good guys and they get along, but something's going sideways. If you can tell that to them, and the rest of your work is tight, so not only will the kids be invested, but the rest of the room, the rest of the crowd will be invested. I mean, you know, we have wrestling fans nowadays that look strictly at how the moves are done, and you know, we're a world of GIFs, you know, or just memes of like, oh, and that's all you see. And they're like, that person's awesome. Well, they hit one move. Like, how does the rest of it piece together? But no, that's exactly what the point you took it exactly the way I was delivering it. Sometimes my message doesn't get out there. Like, I also look around and go, did I explain that right? Or am I just jibber jabbering? But also, I learn like you. Like, I learn by doing. You could tell me this all day long, and I'm like, until I do it and go, aha, that's what, you know, what they meant, or what so-and-so meant. Or I have my story is that years ago when I was wrestling for Harley, and another Ted DiBiase reference, he critiqued a match of mine. And I'll mind you, I was so into going to Japan, and I was pretty jacked up, a lot more muscly. And the guy I wrestled wasn't. He just was a newcomer. I liked the kid, but I didn't make the match look like that kid could have won. So when Ted DiBiase came back to talk to me, and he happened to be an agent at the time, or you know, a producer, he was giving me advice on, and that's exactly what he said. I listened, but I didn't hear. So I listened to everything he had to say, and I was like, and then I basically walked away, the arrogant kid going, I don't want to wrestle in WWF. Like, so thanks a lot, Ted DiBiase, in my head. Like, otherwise, you know, to him face to face, I'm like, thank you, sir. Appreciate everything. Years later, I'm sitting there, I'm like, you moron. Like, Ted DiBiase has wrestled everywhere in the world, including Japan, where you are wrestling now. Psychology, even at its basis, and then expanding. This guy knows it. He's wrestled with everybody, the greats that I love, yada, yada, yada. Like, and then it finally registered years later. But again, learn by doing. Like, oh, that's what he meant. Like, I started reflecting. I'm like, such a fool. I told him the story again at the PC years later, and he remembered me, but didn't remember that. But he said, well, then you have a lesson to teach these kids. I'm like, I do, because I tell this story about what an idiot I was, you know? So, no, great to hear. Thank you. I'm glad that resonated, because that's exactly what, if you can tell in telling a story, if you lead them along, if you lead this crowd, if the little kid could figure it out, if it's too contrived and confusing, sure, we have those crowds that are into that. And I was guilty of that too. Yeah. Like, they just want high pace, just, you know, a fireworks match, bang, 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 bang. But I think I even brought up, well, I was there before Collision happened, and a great match that happened that I'm still so, like, I need to go back and watch it again, was Andrade and Buddy Matthews. And they had such a competitive physical. Oh, I know you were there. The shoulder, his knee. I'm like, what's going on? Like, oh, this is great. And they, you know, they created that. And then just everything into the finish, I was like, that was amazing. They worked everybody, you know, it was, I hate saying too much about a performance, but we know what it is. You don't pull back the curtain. But again, another one of my points, you can suspend disbelief. It can be done. So.
Right. And so such a, like a basic, like hindsight, such a basic story of like, okay. And you did discuss that too last week of like, just work, like working a body part. There's your story. Like, that's an example of a story. Which again, something that I struggled with, especially like moving forward and still now to this day, is like, okay, what's our story? And I have a horrible habit of like blending stories, trying to like add too many stories than one. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's so hard to be like, it could be this simple, stop trying to overcomplicate. But instead, like, I'm just thinking of one specific time I wrestled this girl from Texas, a great friend of mine, Hyun. It just was so funny because we were trying to like have our stories like collaboratively in a match, when looking back, we should have just picked one and ran with it.
Right.
Like, I was very much like, oh, you get up on me, you get up on me, and then that causes me to be the aggressor. And the story that she was trying to do was like tit for tat evenly. But then I'm like, still turning and being the aggressor when it's like, but we're evenly. And of course, like, when hindsight's 20/20, you watch it back and you're like, okay, that probably could have been done a lot better. But it's, to go back to the Buddy and Andrade match, like, it was just so beautifully done that, like, I think there was even like they were on the top rope and, you know, Buddy flipped over to try to go for the powerbomb, but his knee gave out. And it was so little, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I love like Lucha and the high spots and all the fast paced stuff.
Sure.
And I love watching it. And I feel like I've heard a lot about how you were discussing in your past, I don't want to go to WWE, so like that's not for me kind of thing. And I feel like especially with Ring of Honor at that point in time, it was so so fast paced, some of the stuff that like I had such like an infatuation for it that you can like appreciate that style, but you can also like looking back now, I'm like, oh, you can like blend styles too and like make it mean something. So yeah, now I'm just rambling, but I'm saying I love all wrestling, to be honest, if I'm especially like when it's done well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just what I was getting at. I don't know if this is okay to say or not, but
we'll find out.
Yeah, I know, right? we went to AEW Collision and we went to Dynamite and Rampage. They were here I think last November, I want to say, late last year, we'll say. And a lot of times WWE, like we go to a lot of live wrestling is the moral story. But what I'm getting at is I noticed that like a lot of my favorite matches to watch in AEW happen to be people that like came from WWE. And I'm like, oh, they've clearly learned so much from that place. Just having like a training facility, and obviously I've heard people say it's the Harvard of wrestling type of thing. And then I wonder like what can happen with AEW if they get to that point in time where there is a facility to like, and I support AEW, obviously, if I'm going still, I love it there, love my time there.
Of course.
Want everybody to succeed. I try to like think back as like what were my favorite matches of the night, and it tends to be people who were like with WWE at some point in time, and I'm just like, I always want obviously because I've been there in like little spurts, but I've never been there consistently for training, so I'm always like I wonder what the training is like. So I don't mean this to turn into a seminar, but are you able to like speak to like what the training is like from like WWE and to why maybe people are able to like excel that much after they've left? Is that okay to ask?
Look at you being the interviewer. I like this.
You're saying well. 100%. I talked about this a little bit when Lars was here. Hi, yeah. Lars. He's in Europe. When Lars and Dennis interviewed me last year, we started really talking about psychology and different things. And I talked about my time at the Performance Center. I got to coach with the best coaches in the world. One of the reasons I ended up there, and I think I told this story, is because I formed a bond and a relationship with William Regal. So he would mentor me as years went on. I was mentored by Harley Race as well. So I've got the world's best, right? And still sometimes, you know, it's not clicking. You know, even though I want to do this my way. But when I went to the Performance Center, I did have my own class for quite a while and I would challenge people and things, but I would always say higher learning. I would look at a match and go, okay, so I'm learning producing as well. And also to flip back to, if you think you know everything about this business, you don't, you know, there's plenty of people that still learn. Even the coaches there, like, I'll tell you one day, I'm not going to say here. I'll tell you one day when we train, like I came up with something one day and I posed the question to Fit Finley. And I thought he was just, cause he's very stern, and he walked away and he came back. And when class started and I was coaching with him, he said, he says something here that he's, and I think is really good. I went, holy shit. He thought that was good. And it's just thinking outside the box. There is a structure to things. I think it's also being coachable. When you go there at the Performance Center, I mean, the idea is you have to be coachable and you have the best coaches. You call it the Harvard. I sometimes might even say it's like, and I can see where that comes from. It's Harvard as far as the caliber of coaches. it's also kind of a junior college where you get a little bit of this class, a little bit of this class. Like, you move around a lot, month to month. It could be half a month. Go work with this person. You're working with Steve Carino, who has a different feel for wrestling. And Carino's wrestled in Japan more so than I ever did. Like, he was going week to week to week to week. But he's so humble, but so giving with his advice. We've coached together. We had a great time coaching where we came up with different things and different drills. Robbie Brookside breaks someone in. They don't like that term anymore. We don't say break them in. We train them, you know, like, all right, well, whatever you want to call it, because that sounds too old school and mean and rough. But Robbie has his flavor of, he ran a school at another, at, you know, in Europe, and he would be, I think maybe even Germany, but he's wrestled over there and he knows how to deal with newbies coming in, and he has the patience for it. But you're taught some structure, and you're taught TV wrestling is a different animal than independent wrestling. So getting that structure from TV wrestling, that's exactly where more so a story comes from than anything. When I was wrestling and I had a short stint in TNA, I had no idea how to work TV. And Regal will say this too. I don't know how to take my match and put it into 3 minutes. Because Regal's like, I'm lost. I like a crowd. I like, give me 8 to 10 at bare minimum where I can get my character over, get them to buy into me, so on and so forth. But to get something done in 3 minutes, rough. And that happens a lot to a lot of people. I think it's more so what you talked about, like understanding that this has to be a story of some sort in any way, shape, or form. What is the end result? And when you have a coach like Terry Taylor there, he trains differently than Fit Finley, who comes from a different era, different area and era. They kind of lined up together, but Terry worked the territories back in the day. Terry has worked the world heavyweight champion when that championship meant something, when there was a, not that it doesn't mean something, but you understand, when there was a traveling champion that went town to town, he worked that guy. He worked the Ric Flair back for 60 minutes. He worked all the guys he went back town to town every week to work television, where you have to tell a different story and advance your thinking. I have a sheet that I'll let you in on, and he'd hate if I, you know, but he has some secrets too. I looked at him one day, and I've always gotten along with the old timers from the day I started. It's just kind of in my nature. It's, you know, being respectful, shutting your mouth for a little bit and listening a little, and taking advice. But I also ask advice. That's the hardest part, asking advice from the right people. And I would ask him, Terry, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Like, I'm not too good to not learn. Or Norman Smiley, of all, you know, you will see people come back to Norman Smiley, pulling the curtain back. Charlotte Flair's getting back in the ring. She's in class with Norman. Hey, Norman, when's your class? I know she messaged him. She'll message him, and then Charlotte Flair will pop up in class with newbies. So those newbies are like, oh my God, Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte Flair's like, get in the ring, let's wrestle. Right. And then she'll sit and talk to Norman's there all day long, ready to answer questions. And Norman's got his own experience. Like, he's a legit shooter, could hurt you, but he's wrestled in Mexico. So he understands the flavor of a lucha libre and how to mesh that. And now he's worked so much TV with American wrestling and blending it all together. So I know I'm just throwing a bunch at you, but I think it's truly being coachable and coming from that experience. I'm a better coach 100%. Like, we talked about it, and I don't work there anymore, but I'd be a fool to say I didn't learn anything from these people. I still keep in touch with some of them, of course, because just because I don't work there doesn't mean I didn't make a bond in a relationship. But how they helped me advance my coaching, like, I still learn. Like, I think I brought it up the other day, going to different schools, like, the training we did was a bit antiquated. Like, we stress structure of a match and things like that. You don't do this, you do that, you know. But like rolls and things like that, like calisthenics, like different type of warm-up drills and things, so much more advanced nowadays. But as far as like coaching or looking, being an armchair quarterback, and I say this with the most heartfelt like notion, is that I love coaching more than I love wrestling, than I love actually being in ring. I wrestle a little bit now and then, but I really don't want to anymore. I love giving someone the keys, like trying to give them the keys to the vehicle and watching them drive it and just doing the most awesome things with said vehicle. Like, it makes my heart happy. It makes my heart happy to suggest a match and it comes off the way it is. It makes my heart happy to say, try this in your match for me. And then to work out with them, you know, to see like, okay, give this a shot for me and see if this works, you know, it's just taught me a lot being there, like how to deal with the, you know, with different talents, different personalities. But ultimately to answer your question, as I've babbled so much, comes back down to being coachable and being able to adapt and listen to the people that came before you. You know, Shawn Michaels' idea of wrestling might be a little bit different than one of the other coaches. So again, that's where you're like, okay, who do I listen to? What am I doing? You know, I would often say when I had a match for someone, who's your coach? I'm with Coach Terry. Okay, well, I know what Terry wants. Don't do this. Don't do that. I know, because you're going to have to sit in skull session with Terry. He's like, what's that? Why'd you do that? You know, he has a bit of a different philosophy for, you know. Yeah. So I hope that answered your question as I babbled and rambled.
Yeah. Listen, we've got a few more minutes left, Kylie, and I have to ask you maybe a real journalistic type question here before we end the show, since we've had fun. You mentioned being pregnant. Have you thought about how your career is going to be after the pregnancy? Is your game plan the same before as where you want your trajectory of your career?
Very good question. And again, I might not have a realistic answer for you. and I apologize if my internet cuts out again, because it was starting to again. But as far as the pregnancy, again, this is my first time giving birth, so I think I was a little naive, shooting for, you know, 2 months recovery time. I'm hearing it's more like 6 months. I know I still want to wrestle. I still go to training at least once a week and get in and do the warm-ups and the drills that I'm able to do. I don't necessarily do any spots or drills with other people. And that's because accidents can happen. You know, God forbid something horrible happens where, I definitely limit to what I'm able to do, and that'll probably even decrease even more once, you know, my belly's out to here and I can't do a forward roll anymore. But I believe in training consistently, because I think that if you don't use it, you lose it, no matter how long you've been doing anything. So I'm trying to not lose too much throughout the pregnancy, if that makes sense. I'm really holding on to that set drill. I know, I'm like... so we'll see. So I would love to just keep having fun and growing and learning and trying to, I don't want to say correct mistakes, but learn from my mistakes that I've made. And I can't predict the future. So whatever happens, happens, but I know I still love wrestling and I probably always will. So I want to continue doing this as long as I can. I'm initially said I would like to be back working matches in January, but again, I'm hearing that that's not possible. So I'm shooting for April of 2024. And you know, maybe just baby steps into like whatever happens from there. But, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I know I'm also, I don't know if this is okay to say, I feel like I'm a little bit of a, I don't want to say liability, but I know I need to be better at, let's say, reaching out if I need help or if I'm overwhelmed. So one of my biggest things that I want to continue is keeping certain things in place for if I ever am going through one of my down periods, we'll say. So I will say this, that I am over 20 months sober now. and consistently going to thank you so much. That's something that I've always kind of struggled with throughout my life. So continuing my sobriety, and then also I go to therapy every other week. So continuing that as well, it's really helped me. I will be honest, if this was a year ago, I don't know if I would have been able to hop on a call with y'all. So that's how much my anxiety would really affect me. But we're here. So that's, that's progress, right? So just progressing every day. And I know that's outside of wrestling, but I promise it, for me, it ties into wrestling because I tend to put way too much pressure on myself. And think it's the end of the world if some it's not, it's like you said, it's just wrestling. So being able to be mentally good,
that is the one of the major advances in life in general, I think. I mean, I've had this conversation, he wouldn't mind me saying it, with Adam Pierce. His grandmother passed away, and just as men, we're taught as men to be stern. We're a couple of months out of that, but as men, we're taught to be stern and not cry and blah, blah, blah. And that's such BS. We have to feel, we have to let these emotions out. And that's just so antiquated. Or to talk to somebody, not just a friend, somebody that is unbiased, just someone that is not a part of your life, to just let these things out that you don't feel like you're being judged. And no, that's awesome. That's very awesome. Congratulations on sobriety as well.
Yeah.
That's just an awesome thing to hear, but taking care of yourself. And I can tell you that things at the performance center, different things, they have sports psychologists that come in and talk to you, because these are real things, you know, as high end athletes as we are, whether it's on an independent level or just life in general, there's a lot of things that come crashing down. And no, I applaud you. That's so awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was, I will say it was a lot easier to numb the pain with,
of course.
But now I feel being able to feel what we feel has helped me grow. And also it's much better in the long term. I don't know. I think we should all be a good support system for everyone. And obviously that's one thing that I thought, where I was I can't reach out. I can't let people know that I'm, feeling this way or that way. And it's there's so many people that we care about each other. They'll be there. And they're probably going through the same thing or have already gone through it. So they'll be able to help you out of it. So yeah.
Exactly.
Now, Ace, quick question. After the podcast, will you tell me where babies come from? just wondering.
The sky.
Okay. The stork does ring, right? All right, good. I was just
Kylie Rae rolls up and a baby comes out. She does two quarter rolls, a right and a left, and there it is.
I hope it's that easy. I really do.
Piece of cake.
I hope for your sake too.
Yeah. As a guy who's been in a room when the child has been birthed, I had fun. So you'll be all right. Yeah, I did great. I don't.
You would do it again in a heartbeat, right? It's easy. Oh,
yes. It wasn't bad at all for me. The TV was on. You know, I had to ask the ex-wife to be quiet a few times because I couldn't hear the TV. But after all that stuff, you know, she was happy. And yeah, but. Let's wrap
that yeah. Kylie is how you do a heel turn right there.
With
you
a smile.
You think you're a baby face, right? But really, we can see, right? Yeah. Those the best ones, right? When I'm 24 hours into labor, I'm probably gonna curse you, Dennis.
I hope you do. I hope you remember me. Most people have done this podcast, have met me in person, and don't even know my name. So the fact that you've just really remembered it, even though it's probably on the Zoom and you could read it, I'll take it. I'm not even, I'm happy. Kylie Rae knows my name, guys. I need it now. But listen, we've not even gotten to probably 1,000 questions we had for you, because this has been so fun and exciting and easy and relaxing. And
I can't say enough nice things. I love hearing how you've come back and you're a better version of yourself and you love what you're doing now. And, you know, if anybody out on the internet has anything bad to say, fuck them. Because you know what? I'm sorry. Fuck them. You are a generally nice, amazing person. This has been something I've been excited for. And I mean, Ace, you've done these shows with me before. I don't ever fanboy out for someone like this, except for Ace. I did fanboy out for Ace. I did.
He's lying.
But you are one of these people that, you know, whether you admit it or know it or not, a lot of people are rooting for you. So people love you. And I am one of them. So huge fan. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you. And my hormones can't handle this. So thank you.
Oh, no, I've got more. I had this whole, like, I was going to hold up signs and, you know, but now that I know you're pregnant and have a husband, I'm out. I'm tapping. That's the end of this podcast. Ace.
I'll cry afterwards.
Yeah.
I thank you because when they asked me to do this, like, and I even coming to you, I was like, I hope I don't seem weird about this, but I met you and I've liked your work for so long. I would go out of my way if I like looking for searching and I hear you did there was a good match or just to watch you in something. I'm like, I like to see talented people. Beyond that, I've heard that you're a good person and I've met you. And now I know that in our 2-week friendship. But thank you so much. Like this is exactly the conversation I wanted. I had softball questions. I didn't even get to half of them because I just felt like the conversation would just flow. And this makes it so much easier for me as I'm filling in as host, but it's just so fun. I'd rather have it be easy and just let the emotions flow. Talk about important things. Please continue wrestling. Please continue to be an inspiration for people. Please continue training because you do it properly. You guys lead people in, you know, like it's just such a good thing. And especially in our business, there's a lot of rotten people that do things in this business. And we need a good community of people that do things. It seems like they're even still, it's few and far between to find good people that are around this that I really would like to associate with, as opposed to, yeah, great. There's that person again in the hallway. Oh, hi. Yeah, you know, like right. I said this before and I looked at the class at Freelance and I'll say this at Hybrid because they're all new people. The circle will get smaller as time goes on and you see who really cares about you. And myself, you know, with recent times, you see how small that circle is and you see the ones that are the real ones that are tight with you and that care about you. And well, you're a person to care about. So thank you very much.
Where can people find you online? I mean, I would love to have ended the podcast on that line because that was the most amazing heartfelt thing, but now at least got to ask people to follow you. So take you out of that moment for a second.
Sorry. Good. Because the eyes are welling up right now.
Ace and I had a bet of who could make you cry first. So
I know, these speeches all in my head. I swear.
It could have been the worst interview. We would have said the same exact things just to see who can make you cry. And I owe you $5.
Bullet points of what to say. No, yeah. I just thank you both so much. It was seriously, it was 100% felt natural, organic. I'm awkward and I have a tendency to put my awkwardness on other people. And it didn't feel like that at all. So it was wonderful. And I feel like I learned a lot from both of you too. And obviously I asked some like training questions. So thank you for answering, Ace. But again, I also, I hope you come back and I hope to meet you in person, Dennis. And as far as online, I still have the Kylie Rae Twitter, so it's at I am Kylie Rae, and then Instagram, it's just my personal one, so I don't, so just Twitter.
There you go, Twitter.
Baby pictures. Lots of baby pictures coming up. And Ace, where do people follow you?
Ace is a steal on, I don't really go to Twitter very much, it just is what it is. On Instagram.
Yeah,
the cesspool, and there is a Facebook. I just obligatory have the Facebook because it's, you know, that not just the personal, but, you know, I have, if you go come to my personal, you're coming to the wrong place. I think it says go away on the header just to everybody. So I'm pretty standoffish there, but no, Aces of Steel on Instagram. I just post fun stuff. My dog's in wrestling. So.
All right. Look, this week's wrestling perspective. There we go. I got it out. I'm all choked up because of the great moment. Yeah. But look, great one. We'll say our goodbyes off the air. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Have a good night.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.